Okay, so we've got Brad. Will you check Tage and see, make sure we're there? I'd ask you guys to stand up and wave your arms if you ever can't hear us, but I don't think that would work very well, would it?
Tage, are you still on?
I'm still here. I'm only hearing about every other word.
He's hearing about every other word.
Okay.
We'll try and get that a little better.
Okay, we do have him on the phone, so we'll go ahead and commence with our board meeting, and we might want to have Michael, someone, if they can monitor that phone. I don't know if we've got a staff member that can kind of just monitor it and see if they hear it as we go.
Yeah,
we'll. Council, we'll proceed with the roll call.
Paul Hanson?
Here.
Betty Maynard?
Here.
Rick Chenoff, Tage Flynn, Heather Jackson, Brad Johnson,
here.
Natasha Madsen, David Stevens,
here.
Mark Stevens. We have a quorum of 5 members.
Very good, thank you. And as I mentioned, we've got Brad and Tage on phone. Dr. Mark Stevens was unable to attend our board meeting today, and Brett Chenoff was unable to come for health reasons. He was injured in an accident. He's okay, but he wasn't able to make the trip. So we wish him health and moving forward. Let's go ahead and move to item number 4. As far as introductions, again, for the sake of time, we've got limited time with Tage before he has to report back to the legislature. We don't want him to miss any of that. Let's move on to item number 4, election of chair and vice chair for the coming year. What are your nominations?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to nominate Paul Hanson, the current chairman, to assume his responsibilities in the coming year. I think that is a nomination of Paul Hanson for chairman.
Do we have other nominations? Okay, I'll entertain a second then on that nomination.
I'll second that.
And then a motion to close nominations, hearing no others.
I would close those nominations and move to have Paul Hanson sitting as chairman work through acclamation.
Thank you. A motion by Betty and a second.
Second.
Second by David. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And I don't hear the phone saying no, so thank you. Thank you, board. And I'll now entertain motion for vice chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate Betty Naylor as vice chair.
Very good. I have a motion on Betty. Do I have other nominees for vice chair? Hearing none, I'll entertain a second on that motion, and then a motion on vice chair. I'll make that motion and we nominate Betty Naylor then as vice chair of the Drinking Water Board.
A second.
And a second by David. All in favor indicate aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on then to item number 5, approval of the minutes. I'm going to take these both together. We have the January 17th, 2014 meeting minutes and the January 30th minutes. Any questions on those minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed both sets of minutes and found them to be correct. A couple of clerical changes that I mentioned to Michael Grange, and I would move that they stand approved.
Very good. We have a motion on those 2 minutes. We have a second.
I'll second that.
And a second by David. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. Thank you. Those minutes are hereby approved. Moving on then to the Financial Assistance Committee report to our vice chair. Thank you, Betty.
We're going to change our agenda a little bit due to the time that Tage has to spend with us. And we're going to move right to skip the status report and move right to the project priority through Michael Grange.
There's one new project being added to the project priority list. Forest Glen A Homeowners Association being added with 20.5 points. Their project consists of spring redevelopment, a new tank, a transmission line, and water line replacement. The Financial Assistance Committee recommends that the Drinking Water Board approve the updated project priority list.
Any discussion? I'll take a motion.
I'll move that we accept the recommendation of staff to add Forest Glen A Homeowners Association to the project priority list.
I'll second that motion.
Motion has been made by Dr. David Stevens, second by Chairman Paul Hansen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes to add them to the project priority list. Okay. And moving on to the SRF applications, federal fund for the Forest Glen A. And we do have an update on that that was handed out to us that those on the phone will not have. So you'll have to explain that.
Okay, this is Rich Peterson. The Forest Glen A Homeowners Association has a significant deficiency in their storage capacity. And they are planning to basically redo their whole system. If you look at their IPS report, second to last page of your packet, they have points for disinfection as well as their lacking of storage capacity. So this project will help deal with those issues. As mentioned in the PPL, transmission line and redeveloping their spring, as well as replacing distribution water lines. The update that has been handed out is to update the costs to include the Buy American increases and to correct some other issues. Also, we looked into the fire flow requirements. Exception letter is being drafted as we speak, and so that the full 145,000 gallon tank would not be necessary. So they're going to go with the 40,000 gallon tank, which would bring down the cost, total cost of $1,291,280. The self contribution would be $41,280. And to keep the same consistent 30% principal forgiveness, the loan would be $881,000, and the grant portion would be $369,000, and that would be a 0% loan for 30 years. And it's not mentioned in the handout, but that have a cost of $100 per connection, which has been approved by the Homeowners Association. So with this limited number of connections, they do qualify for principal forgiveness. That's in your original packet. Their percent of MEGI is over 2%. With this new scenario, it's actually 2.15%. So that would be the new staff recommendation is a combined loan of $1,250,000 and the same interest rate as we mentioned, the same ratio.
Okay, do we have any questions from the board? Would you like to make a comment, the recipients?
I just wanted to say, I'm Steve Manning-Thompson, water operator. Bruce Warren, the president of the HOA. Chet Hubby from Advanced Environmental Engineering. And we thank you for anything you can do for us. I thought I'd just ought to say hello because I was here last year with the Wasatch Mountain Public Meeting. Remember, just to give you an update, that project went extremely well and everything's going fine with it. You've also helped us in the past with other projects, so we're hopeful that maybe we can do a good job for you again.
Appreciate that.
I do have a question. This came up in the Finance Committee, where one of the things that we talked about then was what the options were for appointing other systems, neighboring systems, and why that, whether that was considered, and if so, why it wasn't.
I would love to join systems. One of the issues is the canyon is forested land. Salt Lake City owns probably about 90% of the water rights in the canyon. We have surplus water agreements with the city, both Forest Glen A and Forest Glen B and C, which is the development next door. Probably 2 years ago, when we tried to bring that up with them, they said to us, I quote, there will be no combining of systems. So I waited a couple years and I've talked to the assistant director, I've emailed and called the girl with water rights, Karen Greenlee, and also called Laura Briefer, and none of them have returned my phone calls or my emails. So it pretty much lends me to believe that they're not interested in allowing that, because they would have to modify their water agreement. And because of things that are happening over in Little Cottonwood, there's a proposed lake and condo development and Carter Bowl down the road, they're very gun shy and they're not willing to modify any of the contracts. We couldn't even tie the Rainy Fire Station into the Silver Lake system, because it wouldn't modify the contract. So I have a system that gives me 2 gallons a minute in the winter that I'm supplying an 8,000 square foot fire station with. It at least allowed me to put a larger tank in. And that's what we're dealing with. And we've been dealing with it for 15, 20 years or so now.
Is there a chance that surplus water could just go away because we're going for something else in the future and it'll be high and dry?
You know, I've often wondered that, because the way the contract is, it's called an interruptible contract. It is interruptible by 30 days notice between either party. But it was, when they raised their rates, they raised their rates by 200% about 2 years ago. At that time, they told us they had gone to the state engineer, and they had allocated all the water for the contract up to Big Cottonwood Canyon. And they're now buying water from, I think it was Central Utah, or Jordan Valley, something like that. That's how they're supplying the city. I have not got into it with them, but that leads me to believe that they're not gonna take that water back because they've allocated it to the developments up there.
Thank you.
And I guess my big concern is an existing water bill of $33 going up to $110, and were your public hearings interesting on that, or?
That's a nice way to put it. What we did was, it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, they knew they had issues coming up. Last year, we designated a water committee to pursue the project, done with it. We recommended that we obtain a master plan, and so the committee and the board of directors agreed with that. We bought the master plan, presented it at an HOA meeting, and we had just shy of 66% voting in the affirmative. And we thought we might really like to get it, so we actually were pleasantly surprised.
Any further comment or discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
This is Paul. I'll make a motion that the board authorize a loan of $1.25 million at an interest rate of 0% for 30 years, with $369,000 in principal forgiveness, the repayment amount being $881,000, with the condition that all issues be resolved on the compliance report.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Paul Hansen, second by Dr. Stevens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to Hannah and Michael.
And allow the system to use the remaining $180,000 to help fund construction of a new 750,000-gallon drinking water storage tank. The Drinking Water Board authorized $2.2 million to Hannah back in May of 2010. That was money to redevelop the Annie Mae Spring and to install the transmission line to that spring to their existing water system. That project is now complete. There was a fairly favorable bidding environment and careful project management resulted in approximately $180,000 of authorized funds remaining in their construction account. The total project cost to build this tank is estimated at $810,000. Hannah Water is requesting $630,000 from the Community Impact Board. The new tank will resolve storage and pressure issues in the system's upper pressure zones. Staff is recommending that the Drinking Water Board approve a change to the scope of work authorized in May 2010 to allow Hannah Water and Sewer Special Improvement District to use $180,000 remaining SRF funds to build a new 750,000-gallon storage tank.
Do we have anybody from Hannah here?
No.
Okay.
Just a comment, if I may. It's always nice to see when a community is able to wisely use their funds, and so I commend Hannah and their project team for doing that with staff. Also acknowledge that this tank was part of the original application.
Yes, it was.
It was part of the master plan.
Yes.
It was pulled back because of fears that the cost would be so high. So
correct.
With those comments, it would be my motion that we approve a change in the scope of work which would allow them to utilize the remaining funds towards this water storage tank.
Sure, sure.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, I do have a motion by Paul Hanson, a second by Dr. Stevens for approval. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay,
aye.
Okay, I was just waiting for the poll. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Yes, thank you.
No, this isn't added to the agenda.
This is added to the agenda. We did post the new agenda previously. So, on September 6th of 2012, the Drinking Water Board authorized $153,000 at 2.71% interest for 20 years with $30,700 in principal forgiveness to Axtel Community Special Service District to stabilize their transmission line and install fire hydrants. Axtel has now decided they're not able to assume this additional debt and do not wish to pursue the project any further, and their engineer sent us an email to that effect, which is attached to your handout. Staff recommends the Drinking Water Board deauthorize the $153,700 construction loan to Axtel.
And with the deauthorization of that, do they have any compliance issues that would have been dealt with this?
I do not recall right off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't think that they did, but I can't say for sure. This was kind of a last minute
right.
occurrence, and we didn't get a chance to review their IEPS report.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yeah. Cursory reading of this suggests that their transmission line is still unstable. That language worries me a little bit. So have they taken steps to prove that without spending money?
I don't know. I will pursue that when we get back to the office and have Julie at least talk to the engineer and see if they did do anything.
I don't know whether it's unstable. There's lots of ways it could be unstable.
It had been affected by flooding from rain, and it washed out some of the bedding and support for the transmission line. So I'm not exactly sure how they've mitigated.
Cub Scout Eagle project?
Yeah, probably. cribbing gravel and baling wire.
Okay.
I will find that out, though. I will follow it up.
Okay, I'll accept the motion to deauthorize.
I'll move that the Board of Board deauthorize $153,700 construction loan to Axtel SSD at 2.71% interest for 20 years, $33,700 in principal forgiveness.
And a second? I'll second that. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We give it and we take it back. Okay. And going back to the item to start.
Can I make just one comment, Betty? Well, that would conclude the items that require board motions. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So Tage, if you need to, or Brad, break off for legislative action, I presume you can do so without guilt. Is that a fair statement?
I agree.
You're welcome to stay, and we invite you to stay as long as you can, but just let you know that we support you and thank you for what you're doing back in the legislature.
Tammy, would your item need a board motion?
No.
That's just a notice, isn't it?
Yep.
What we're starting with the OK. Oh, that's right. And David, Financial Assistance Committee. We need another member for the Financial Assistance Committee. Tage or Brad, either of you interested in being on that committee, or should we wait for others?
We'll
need another member for the Financial Assistance Committee. Do either of you have the ability or the interest to serve on that committee? Or should we wait for our two new appointees?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out on me, and I can only hear about half of what you're saying.
Okay. We'll confirm that over the phone then later. So we'll go ahead and continue on then. Thank you, Betty.
Okay, Michael, we have two other items. Which would you prefer to take first, the status report or moving to the historical usage one?
I can combine them all into one ramble if you wish.
It's your turn.
Okay. I'll just go through it all in step then. Since the January board meeting, staff has closed the Woods Cross City SRF loan. They were authorized $4.5 million. We had a discussion about this project on a teleconference where the Buy American provision that was reinstated with this year's allocations and appropriations from Congress were going to significantly impact and increase the cost of that project. What we ended up doing was splitting that project into two different parts. We funded through the federal program, we funded the pipeline portion of that project at $1.225 million. And we funded the treatment plant portion of that project through the state program at $3.225 million. The groundbreaking for the treatment plant was last Tuesday, the 18th. And I was able to attend that on behalf of the division of the board. And I spoke with Scott here just a little bit ago, a couple days ago, and they are actually now laying pipe as part of the pipeline project. So they are moving forward rapidly.
Do you know what the time for completion is of that treatment plan? Is anybody here?
No, Scott did not stay.
I can speak to that. That's actually about September, October time frame.
Of this current year?
Correct.
Thank you.
The treatment vessels are being fabricated at this moment in time, so they have moved rapidly on that. In addition to the closing of the Woods Crossing loan, staff authorized planning advances to Willow Creek Water Company, Hilldale City, Rockville Pipeline Company, and the Lizard Bench Water Association. Sandy has requested that I inform the board that the intended use plan for the 2014 grant is being developed at this time. In reading through the different rules and policies for the program, we determined that we actually don't need a board motion on the IUP. So instead, it's being prepared, and we still need to have a public comment period, and so as soon as that's ready, probably by the middle of next week, it will be on our internet page for public comment. The 2014 CAP grant for our program was $9,229,000. We will be requesting about $922,000 in set asides, and then we will have to have a $1.845 million state match. So putting all those numbers together, basically what that says is we'll have a little over $8.6 million to allocate to water systems in the state over the coming year for the federal new money. So Sandy asked that I pass that on to the board. Real quick, you'll remember, perhaps I've spoken to this before, but in 2011, the state decided as a division to participate fully in the NEED survey. It's the survey that EPA does every 4 years at the request of Congress. The results of that survey is what is used to determine the allocations for the appropriations and for the CAP grant. We became a 1.04% state instead of a 1.00% state, which basically resulted in an additional $384,000 in CAP grant money for the 2014 fiscal year. So well worth our effort to participate in that survey. Looking at the sheets in the packet, state loan funds. Currently, we are down to just over $700,000 in the state fund. That does take into account the $3.5 million roughly that we just reallocated from the federal over to state for Woods Cross. Over the course of the next year, we're expecting an additional $6 million. So between now and February 1st of 2015, we expect $6.7 million to be available for projects through the state program. Moving to the federal program, second round money, which is basically all of our repayment streams, interest earned, etc. We currently have $21.6 million available. We have, at this point, let me turn to that page real quick. We have 8 projects that are authorized but not yet closed for a total of $18.2 million. You don't have that sheet. That's one that I've not included yet in the packet. So all told, we have about $40 million in the bank that's waiting to be spent. $20 million of that's been allocated. $21 million needs to be allocated. We're expecting another $16 million over the course of the next year. So between now and February 1st of 2015, we're expecting about $37.8 million in the federal fund. So the federal fund has a significant amount of money to spend. Are there any questions on either of the funds?
Is there any additional update on what we found out in January with the Buy America for the federal funds? Any additional update on that?
No. We've been in pretty constant contact with Region 8, EPA, basically because of the Woods Cross project, emails, phone calls back and forth. We still do not have guidance from EPA on how to implement the Buy American provisions. There are rumored to be some movements towards a national waiver to relax some of the requirements, specifically with regard to when the project was authorized and when the plans and specifications are approved. But so far, we don't have anything official on any of that yet, so we don't know.
Questions, comments, or discussion from the board? Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
And moving on.
During the last meeting with the Financial Assistance Committee, they requested that staff prepare information on the historical use of grant principal forgiveness in the SRF program. And in the tab for other business, you will see a summary page that has been prepared. This information is data taken from all projects authorized, all construction projects authorized. This does not include any planning money. This is all construction projects authorized from January 2005 through January 2014. I did not include the money for the for water conservancy districts unless the actual number of connections was included in that request, because water conservancy districts have such a variety of numbers of connections, and their project may not serve all the connections within their district. So I just took all those out. I also took out the data from the Wasatch Mountain Club Foundation because it was a single connection and all grant, almost $32,000 in grant. And so that kind of skewed the numbers a little bit. So I just took that data out to do a more even analysis. The top table is grant or principal forgiveness only. You'll notice the three columns. We have the federal program minus the ARRA, the stimulus money, because that had an effect on how much grant we were required to give, and then the state program. Basically, in from the January 2005 to January 2014, total federal program, the board authorized grant or principal forgiveness to 40 projects. Total principal forgiveness authorized was just over $20.1 million. Total connections served were 49,885. For a maximum, for an average of about $4,200 per connection, principal forgiveness over that time frame. The most that the board authorized was $18,500 per connection. The minimum was $6.91 per connection in grant money. And then there's a breakdown of the number of projects and the dollars of principal forgiveness per connection. The second table is total funding, the number of projects in the federal program from January 2005 to January 2014 was 94 projects. Total dollars authorized was $145.6 million. Total connections served was 189,416 connections. The amount of money per connection, the maximum amount was $42,000 per connection. The minimum was $8.40 per connection, with an average of just over $7,000 per connection. From a cost effectiveness standpoint, we were kind of all over the map, really. There was no trend, no real significance to any of the statistics that I was able to pull up, except that I gathered from this information that the board is pretty deliberate in taking into account the need of the project rather than the cost effectiveness of the project.
That was a comment I was just going to make, is it's not because of arbitrariness, it's because each community is unique.
Yes.
In terms of where the water is, how much water is available, what the potential for regionalization is. I mean, there's so many variables that go into it that it really is just reinforcing that fact that each community is unique and needs that special consideration.
Correct. I agree. I do have I didn't include it in your packets, but if you're interested, I do have spreadsheets that break all of those numbers down into a spreadsheet form by individual project and with the data. So if you're interested, let me know, and I can definitely forward those spreadsheets to you.
I'm an engineer. I like numbers. So
sure.
I'd love to get a set.
Bring it on. David, I'm sure would, too. Bring it on.
You might as well email him out.
Okay.
David will turn into one of his graduate assistants and let them review it.
And then tell me where I went wrong.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Any further, Michael?
I believe that's all I have, Betty. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'll turn the time back over to Chairman Tennyson.
Thank you. By the way, I got a text from Tage. I'm not playing games on my phone up here. Tage, you had the phone connection cut off just as we finished. And appreciate he and Brad for being able to join us for as long as they were. Moving on to item number 7, we have some proposed rules, R309-545 drinking water storage tanks and R309-550 transmission and distribution pipelines from Tandon North. So thank you, Tandon.
This is just a continuation of our process of going through the construction standards and systematically updating them. So these are the next two in line. And this is just an informational agenda item. We have, at the vision, now gone through and tried to make the updates that we feel are necessary and are going to, in the next week or to send those out to engineers and water systems for their review and comment, just informally, as well as post it on our website so that we can get feedback from back from them and amend those provisions as needed. Our goal is that we, in the next month, we can get all of those comments back, and then in the May board meeting, come back to you with an updated standard of what those rule revisions are and ask for approval to start the rulemaking process, and then we would go through DAR and stuff like this. So it's just more of a, this is kind of heads up, it's coming down the pipe and our first go of it.
As I went through this, first of all, thank you. We appreciate staff taking the time to refresh those rules. As I went through it, I appreciate it as an engineer the fact that we're still leaving options in some of these changes. We're just making clarifications, and as always, the director has the right to consider any exception or exemption from the rule based on value, but appreciate that. But I did want to point out that there are some modifications that are coming into play here because of EPA change in regulations. For example, on the asbestos and lead pipe for the distribution lines, where after January 4th of this year, it's no longer allowed to have certain fittings that may or may not contain lead. So it's more than just text changes or administrative. There are some compliance with federal rules.
Yeah, with this particular rule, we do have the new EPA guideline that we have to update the lead
free. So this will be sent out, as you say, and one of the earlier meetings today, you even invited others to add their email to a list. You need, I think, have that list to carry through. Is it also posted on the state's website?
It is not yet, but when we send out the email, it will be at that time.
So it will be available for all public?
Correct.
To be able to comment as well?
Correct. And that's just the informal comment. Once the board approves it to start the rulemaking process, it actually goes to a formal public comment period as well. But we like to send them out first so that we can try and address as many of the concerns up front beforehand.
Very good.
Does that formal process include public meetings, or is that necessary?
It does not necessarily. It can if we choose to, but it is not a requirement.
I would assume that that's based on how many comments you have come in. If there's a lot, you probably move to the next step.
Correct. And I don't think there is anything of real significance where we would see a lot of comment on it.
Nonetheless, that option exists, and we can certainly entertain that on it. All are there any other comments by the board? We just got this afternoon, so I mean we'll take the time ourselves to study it as well. Any other comments on this? Very good. We'll allow that process to continue. Thank you very much. And we appreciate yours and your staff's work on that. Item number 8 is moving on to the chairman report. And let me thank again the board and staff for the opportunity to work with you. I've not worked with a finer group of government staff as I look around the state in different committees. And can I commend you and your staff for their professionalism and willingness to work? As I've sat and listened to different presentations in this conference, I've been very much impressed with their professionalism, their courtesy, and the way you carry yourself. So I commend you all for what you all do. Ken, I'm sure we'll address it as part of a report of this conference, but it's also been interesting to go upstairs and listen to the counseling that's going on with the consumer confidence reports and the other project. And that's very refreshing. So thank you again for that information. Yes. And Betty reminded me that last night at the awards banquet, Ken Balsfield received an award as I believe the official title was Friend of Rural Water. Is that close enough?
Yeah, I think the community would be a problem.
So what does that make us? can we be pseudo-friends of the board? Can we be pseudo-friends without our black step? Can we be adopted as new friends also?
Yeah, it's something
to do with
Facebook.
Something like that, yeah.
I like the term groupie myself.
Yes. So anyway, we commend you, Ken, for your leadership in that as well. And I think he said 38 years? Is that what they said last night?
I think it's crucial to recognize the close ties that our association has with the division staff.
Yeah. We're all pointing to the microphone.
Yeah. On this thing all day.
That's okay.
I think it's important that we recognize the close ties that the division staff has with our association, as well as the ties that we have with your board, and how much we appreciate that. While I'm up, so I don't have to get up again and use this thing again. We're looking at about 1,773 people at this conference, and this is once again the biggest that we've had. I know I say that every year, but it's a lot every year. So. We're very pleased, obviously, by that. A lot of good training went on, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of interaction, and part of that is, you know, we're glad to have you all here and to be a part of that. So thank you for being here. Sorry we lost some of your board members inadvertently, but you know, that happens. So.
We'll get them back.
Yeah,
we'll get them back.
They'll come back.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of our conference. This is very important to us to have you all here.
Right, and likewise, I was going to thank you for the accommodations as well for us. It's very, very important to us.
I know I've attended 3 different sessions and had a good review from the division and things that we work with through the board too. That was good.
Moving on to item number 9, then to our director's report. Is that the right title? Director's report, right? Is it Ken?
Thank you. Not on the agenda, but I'd like to recognize 2 staff. One, Mary Ann Booth, if you could raise your hand over here to our left, the audience is right. She'll be taking Linda's place. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Heather Bob, who's sitting next to Mary Ann, filling in for Linda, and it wasn't the normal meeting, as you might imagine. This time, and thanks for Heather's work in helping us out. But you recall that during the summer months, in our reporting board in previous meetings, the division had proposed fees being assessed to water systems, and I reported the results of those meetings and so forth. We have line item in the governor's budget to cover the division's shortfall for revenues. That was approved by our appropriations subcommittee. It was later passed by executive appropriations And at this point, it has to be approved by both the House and Senate. Having passed executive appropriations being part of our base budget, the extra source of funds is a set aside on the state SRF programs. It is essentially a foregone conclusion that both the House and Senate will pass. So I'm happy to report that you're all good for the coming year. And we'll see what happens in subsequent years. But the particular motion was one-time monies. But I hear from the governor's office and from our department that I should not worry about it being just one-time monies. Because I'm still prone to worry. But they say, don't worry about it. Relative to the worldwide conference, this is from purely the Division of Drinking Water's point of view, been a very successful conference for us. Staff members have presented 15 different sessions. I think the record was established by Kim Dykes. He talked 4 hours on Monday afternoon and 7 hours on Tuesday. That's kind of his one presentation relative to operators here at Geisha. There are 89 individuals who signed up to take the test. There were detailed discussions on financial assistance for 3 projects. 11 CDs were handed out to outline the loan process. Technical assistance for engineering concerns. There were 34 face-to-face discussions relative to water systems and issues on their inventory, the monitoring schedule, and so forth. 78 additional consultations. Disinfection byproducts, it's hitting the small systems. This calendar year, 50 separate consultations relative to monitoring waivers, entry point sampling, and violations of the 25 consultations. Source protection works, 11 consultations, 158 water systems picked up their monitoring schedule, their IPS report, lead copper, 20 separate consultations, and then there were issues of significant compliance, 3 separate meetings about 2 separate systems, and the consumer conference report, kind of a report that all water systems have to produce, 117 reports generated. That was 1/4 of all systems required, and typically they would be the small systems that need the help. They came here, they received the help. So I feel it's been a very successful conference for my part of the year. That's all I have to report.
Thank you. It is a marvelous work that has been going on, so thank you again. Our next board meeting will be scheduled for May 9th in Salt Lake City at 1 p.m. That's the date we previously picked. If there's any conflicts, let us know right away. Otherwise, we'll plan for that date. Any other items that need to be brought up? There was a discussion about going to Jordan Valley and having a meeting out of their facility, so we can either do it in May or July. Will you coordinate to see what would work best?
Our thinking is maybe hold the one in Jordan Valley because it's mostly indoors in the later season. This May 9th is a placeholder we'll be looking at going out to look at facilities that the board is system in front of the same project. Considered as a placeholder, particularly relative to where the main. may not.
Correct. Very good. Any other items? Brad, do we still have you on the phone?
I'm still here.
Very good. Thank you for staying with us. If there's no other items, then we'll thank you for joining us, Brad, and we'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Oh, you were going to do your presentation, weren't you, Mike?
Only if anybody would like to see it.
I think everybody here has probably seen your presentation, so we'll let you have a hiatus from
it. It'll be at the training.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. I think staff already knows your presentation pretty well, and the others, so. All right, entertain a motion then to adjourn.
I would so move.
Motion by Betty, a second, please.
Second.
And second by Dr. Stevens. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all very much.
I'm going to say here.